What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are discussing obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. Now, this is interesting to me because many of you have actually written in and asked about this. And by many, I say three or four people have asked on different occasions, could I cover this? Todd forwarded me an email probably 3 weeks ago from a listener asking if we could cover this topic. So that's what we're going to cover today in two segments. I'm going to give you an overview of OCD, help you get to thinking biblically about it. And in the last section, our last segment rather, what I'll do is I'll give you some biblical practical helps. But I do recognize this in 24 minutes is not going to be a full counseling session on OCD. So hopefully just a lot of things to get you thinking in the right direction and maybe even get you moving in the right direction. So OCD is technically a mental illness or mental disorder. It would still be within the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is kind of like the Bible of mental illnesses, quote unquote, or mental disorders. So at this point, it is still classified as a disorder, and that may change, but we're just talking about as of now. And it is also not something that's extremely common. So when I look back over my counseling experience, I've been counseling either full-time or part-time since 2012. So it's been about 14-ish years, 15 years that I have been counseling. And in all of that, I can only think of three separate counseling situations where OCD was the presenting problem. One of them was on our first season of Transformed. You may have seen this. It was about a gentleman, and you can Google this. It's on a part of the trailer as well. A gentleman that would have a compulsion to check his car and ensure that he didn't run something over. So seriously, what would happen is he would be driving and he would have to get out and look at his vehicle. Anytime he heard something, he'd have to get out and look at his vehicle and make sure that he didn't hit somebody. In our, I think it was second or third season, I counseled another guy, and his was thinking about the consequences of his actions and maybe a bit compulsive. He had a little bit of like these obsessions with making sure that he wasn't hurting people. In my own personal counseling outside of Transformed, I've met with another adult male who would have qualified for it. In fact, I don't remember exactly if he was diagnosed with it formally, but it was really about washing his hands and germs. And anytime germs came up, he felt kind of compelled to ensure that he had done his part to be clean. And one last one was talking to parents. And in talking to these parents, just a child that wanted their bedroom to be perfect before they could relax. And that child was diagnosed with OCD by, I don't know, some psychiatrist or therapist or somebody that uses OCD as a disorder. So when you talk about it in big picture, it's not a very common thing. I say all that to say it's not very common. So I'm in the thousands of how many people I've counseled up to this point, and only four max. So why do I bring that up? Well, just because most likely you don't have OCD as you're listening to this. You know of someone or you've heard about it, but you don't have it. And why does that matter? Because it isn't very common. So we'll address it. It's not very common. It's not the top three of mental illness labels that are diagnosed. But, you know, it can be helpful for you to think through. And for those of you that this may be you, you're a one percenter or you sense that you have this within you, then today's episode will help frame some of what's happening within you. So let's get down to a definition. And I'm going to use the APA definition and then offer a couple of critiques. But I am reading directly from the American Psychiatric Association. So obsessive compulsive disorder is a disorder in which people have recurring unwanted thoughts, ideas, or sensations. And sensations could be obsessions. So to get rid of the thoughts, they feel driven to do something repetitively, which are called compulsions. The repetitive behaviors, such as hand washing, cleaning, checking on things, and mental acts like counting or other activities can significantly interfere with a person's daily activities and social interactions. So just to be clear, you don't take a blood test and get diagnosed with OCD. There was no scan of your brain here, your lungs, no EKG. There's no physiological test to prove that you have OCD. These are all social, so-called psychological. These are all symptom-based diagnosing. So you know how symptom-based diagnosing goes. If you don't know how it goes, you should spend some time researching it. I would go back even to my mind versus brain series and think about when you diagnose something based off of a symptom, are you accurately diagnosing in the first place? So these are symptom-based. A person has unwanted thoughts, ideas, or sensations, but that doesn't tell you where they came from, or they have compulsions, but it doesn't tell you where those compulsions come from. So as a Christian, I want you to be discerning as you're interacting with this label that it's not a disorder or a disease in the normal semantic range of disease. You may have a tendency toward these things, but you do not have an illness. And I said that with depression. I said that with ADHD. I said that with anxiety, that this may exist in terms of you have a tendency towards compulsions or intrusive thoughts, but just be sure that you don't imbibe the disease model, disorder model, or illness model. So what is happening here biblically, when you begin to define who we are as people, let's refresh a couple of things. Your mind is where your thoughts come from, and your mind is the source of cognition. Now, when I say mind, make sure you're differentiating between the brain, not the organ of your brain. Remember, the organ of your brain, you could reach out, physically touch, but your mind, your immaterial mind, your nous, according to Romans 12:2, Ephesians 4:23, it is the seat of your cognition, your intellect. So where do unwanted thoughts, ideas that are recurring and intrusive come from? What is their source? As a Christian, you have to say it comes from my immaterial mind. Not my brain, not the organ of my brain. Can the organ of my brain influence my thoughts? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, the organ of your brain can. But what is the source of your thoughts? Your mind. Your mind is biblically speaking. So I want to share with you a verse that actually speaks to your mind being alarmed. If you have a Bible, and I hope that you do, grab it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Thessalonian church was actually a very awesome church, maybe the best New Testament church that there is. Paul writes two letters to them that we have in our New Testament, most likely writing from Corinth after having just been there, and he receives a very favorable report. The worst things that are happening there are that people are being alarmed by end times, and there's a bunch of mooches in the church, mooches that are mooching off the generosity. Seriously, read chapter 3. It's interesting. So when you look at chapter 2, really in the context of end times, here is what Paul reminds the Thessalonians of. He says, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." For those of you that are Bible students, you know that 1 Thessalonians 4 and 2 Thessalonians 2, I mean, out of roughly 7 chapters to the Thessalonians, that you're going to have 2 of them that are dedicated to end times. And here Paul says, don't let your mind be shaken. Don't be alarmed in your mind. So what does this help show us? That your mind can actually be alarmed, rattled, unsettled. The idea of a sober mind or sober judgment, that you have a mind that is disciplined, it's peaceful. So biblically, it is possible for you to have a mind that is, let me just say the word rattled or shaken. And in this context, it's in the context of, oh no, the day of the Lord has already come. Oh no. And this causes a level of panic. So biblically, where does that come from? Your immaterial mind. Your immaterial mind is rattled. Next, let's recognize that it is possible for you to have a fixation on something. Remember, a lot of the fixations in OCD are that you are wanting to wash your hands, or you want to count things, check things, double check the car, make sure the door is locked. So fixation, where is fixation coming from? It is coming from your immaterial mind. So if you are being a person who has a shaken mind and not a sound mind, or you have an alarmed mind, then don't be surprised if you're then fear motivated. If I don't lock the door, don't wash my hands, then what happens is someone will be hurt. I will be unsafe. I will have hurt somebody. And what's coming is really an unstable mind, or a mind that is alarmed and shaken. So fear motivation, fixation, sound, make sure you're sourcing that in your inner person. I also would add the term scrupulosity, because a lot of folks would use scrupulosity to diagnose what is happening. And if you've never used that term, I don't use that term normally unless I'm trying to impress people in conversation. And what a scrupulous day it was today, right, Margo? No, I'm just kidding. That I would get ejected from all conversations in life. But when we talk about scrupulosity, what we mean is a kind of a high sense of justice or of what is right and wrong. You would be surprised, those that struggle with OCD often have this high view of, if I don't do it, this is wrong, I could hurt somebody, I could go to jail, I'm breaking a rule. I did an episode on a sensitive conscience, and scrupulosity often has this hypervigilance for what is right and wrong. So what you're having to do is think that this is a conscience issue. This is connected to your perception of what is right and wrong. And where does that happen? That happens in the conscience, Romans chapter 2. So one last thing, and then we got to take a break. I'm going to highlight this one now in our second segment, come back to it, but the idea of habituation. You can learn compulsions almost by second nature. So you feel compelled to go wash your hands and you automatically get up and go wash your hands. So this idea of habituation still is going to recognize that, where do habits first start? In your heart, by what you want and what you are thinking in your immaterial person. So let's take a break for now. When we come back, I'll pick up with some of these definitions and then keep moving forward.
And we'll take a quick break, back with Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he continues to talk about overcoming OCD and obsessive thoughts. And before we dive back in, let me take just a second to share a couple of things with you. First of all, if you're finding this episode helpful and you want to dig a little bit deeper, then I highly recommend checking out the book that's available in the Transform store at transform.org. It's titled OCD, Freedom for the Obsessive Compulsive. It's by Michael Imlett. Imlett discusses the common obsessions that we experience with OCD, like repetitive checking and cleaning and arranging and hoarding. And then he looks at the underlying causes and, of course, provides biblical wisdom in helping us find freedom. So I highly recommend picking up OCD, Freedom for the Obsessive Compulsive by Michael Imlett, and it is available at transformed.org. Now, of course, producing biblically sound content like Transformed and our other resources, Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, Breaking Bread, and Wretched Worldview, it's all truly a team effort. And that's where you come in, because Transformed and our other resources, they're all listener supported, and your partnership is exactly what keeps us on the air. So if you've been blessed at all and you want to see it continue, then I would humbly ask if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You're investing in our desire to equip believers to think biblically and live accordingly, but we cannot do it without the support of gospel-minded people just like you. And I also do want to be clear, we believe in stewarding God's money well, and it starts by you giving to your local church and not being clamored by any type of debt. Those should always be your first priorities. And if you are in a good place, if you have the means to go and give above and beyond that, then your partnership would be a huge blessing to this ministry. You can learn more about what it looks like to become a gospel partner right now at transformed.org. And lastly, while you're there at transformed.org, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the resources we have available for you to pursue biblical counseling. One of those is The Gospel According to Jesus by Dr. John MacArthur. In the book, MacArthur challenges readers to reevaluate their commitment to Christ by examining the fruit of their lives. And you can pick that book up right now at transformed.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Gifford for the second half of this episode on overcoming OCD and obsessive thoughts. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The biblical counselor will use the Bible to expose, diagnose, and offer cure for the hurting heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about OCD, the long-awaited OCD, and in our last segment, I was working through just some biblical parameters, a definition. Remember, I said that OCD is not an illness or disease if you're using illness and disease in its normal semantic range. There's no pathological genesis. It's not diagnosed based off of a scan, lab work, deficiency in vitamins. It's based off of purely social and symptom-based criteria. So biblically, what are we dealing with? Well, your thoughts do come from your mind, I said. You can have a sound mind or you can have an alarmed mind. You can be fear motivated or overly scrupulous. And the last thing I mentioned was this idea of habits and forming habits that seem almost second nature. So if you're trying to frame some of what's going on in OCD, it's these types of things that maybe you have been alarmed in your mind and overly scrupulous. So you've developed these compulsions to help you atone for whatever problem there might be. So you may be saying, yo, Dr. Gifford, is that the way you talk? Yo, Dr. Gifford, that's whack. Well, okay, I'm open to hearing how that is whack, but your objection, just make sure you're thinking through exegetically or you're thinking through biblically what is happening there. So a lot of times I'll hear from a listener and they'll say, but I know somebody who has this. And just think through like, yeah, that's fair that you do know somebody, but exegetically, let's think through what's happening biblically. So before we just default to, but I know somebody, then let's think, okay, but what does the Bible say and how does the Bible reframe what's happening? So that's what I'm trying to do here with you guys. So is it possible that a person's body is contributing to these types of compulsions? Yeah, that's no problem for me. That shouldn't be a problem for you either. We know that our bodies have been affected by sin. And it would almost be relieving to a certain point if we could identify what in our body would encourage us to an OCD type of behavior, because then we know that there is a physiological component primarily and not a spiritual one. So we do know, according to the Bible, though, that behavior always comes from the immaterial heart. So even if you have a very scrupulous, high sense of justice, you tend towards timidity and fear, even if you know that you've had that since a child, yeah, that's totally fair. Your disposition could tend toward that, but yet we still understand anthropologically that where your behavior comes from is your heart, your inner person. Where do your thoughts come from? Your mind, your inner person. So yes, a certain tendency may be there in your natural man, but Christ brings freedom. That's the point there. Christ brings freedom. So when you're thinking these things through, just make sure I'm okay with that caveat of a person's personality, a disposition may incline you to that. That's no problem in a Christian worldview, but yet we're still saying, where does behavior come from? It comes from the immaterial heart. So when we're talking about how to help, here are some things to consider. And as I mentioned in the first segment, I think most of you listening are not diagnosed with OCD, but you know of someone or you've thought about someone. So I'm going to do my best to keep these brief, maybe at like the 20,000 overview, because I don't know if a 5,000 foot getting down into the weeds would really be helpful to you. So at a 20,000 foot level, let's talk through some things to consider. All right, biblically, in biblical counseling, we're always trying to dig at what's going on in the immaterial heart. And the reason is because that's the source of your behavior. So we'll joke with each other in biblical counseling arenas, you know, like, hey, what's the heart of the matter? Or let's get to the heart, or this sounds like a heart issue. But that's because anthropologically, you do what you do because you want what you want. And what's going on in your mind and your immaterial heart are really the driver. So ask this question, in OCD, is a person worshiping certainty? I have to know the door is locked. I have to know the garage is shut. I have to know I did not hit somebody. I remember Tyler saying that in the first season of Transform. Like, I have to know. It's hard for me to rest without knowing that. So by just getting out and checking the car, he knew that he could move on. Are you worshiping certainty? Do you worship your own exoneration? I thought this was an interesting one because when asking a guy who struggled with OCD type symptoms, why is it so bad to go to jail if you hit somebody? You guys are like, wait a minute. Does Dr. Gifford hit people? No. Like, I was just trying to tease out, like, why is that so bad? Why are you so concerned about that? And he said, because it actually tugs at my plan for my life versus God's plan. So do you want to be free of guilt more than you want to please Christ? Is that a weird way to say it? Do you want to not be accusable more than you want to honor God in your life? You see, it seems very seductive to say, yeah, I don't want to harm anybody, do any wrong, but you can actually worship that over worshiping the Lord when you are fear-led. And then, of course, another dominant heart theme within OCD would be that of fear of man. What will people think of me? How will I come across? If I get them sick, how will they think of me in this moment? So like in any other presenting problem in biblical counseling, we're going to identify what's going on at the heart. So is it certainty, exoneration, fear of man? What are you worshiping in that moment? Next step, when you have a big view of your own responsibility, you need to put on a massive view of the sovereignty of God. OCD makes you think you're in control. You prevent people from getting hurt. You wash your hands so they can be protected. But God is the sovereign one. He is completely in control. He is over all. Christ holds all things together. He is before all. There is no ruler on this earth, no inhabitant of this earth that actually prevents God the Father from doing what he wants to do. So your hand washing doesn't thwart God's plans. Your lack of hand washing doesn't thwart God's plans. You checking your garage door to be closed doesn't thwart God's plans. You not checking it doesn't thwart God. God is sovereignly orchestrating all things unto his end and his purposes. So God is the sovereign one, not you. And we have to put on a sovereign, a high view of God's sovereignty. So when you think of these compulsions, the way that I have counseled them is by the process of change, which is the put off, be renewed, put on. You have to deny yourself these natural compulsions. If you believe that hand washing is acceptable a certain amount of the day, then that's great. Then let's identify how acceptable that is. And then we're putting off the compulsion to wash them all the time. In fact, you're damaging your body by your hands cracking, your knuckles cracking because they're dry because you wash them too much. So you put off those compulsion, you put off that compulsive behavior, and you put on trusting behavior. One counselee, I said, you get 3 or 4 hand washes a day, man. That's it. You don't get 10,000. So use those strategically. We're talking about restroom and eating. Like, that's all you get right now. And we're going to put on the understanding that God can use my germs to accomplish his purposes. Seriously, that's part of how we were renewing our mind. God can use my germs to accomplish his purposes in my life and the lives of others. So if you don't start to deny yourself these compulsive behaviors, they're just going to heighten and worsen, meaning that you're not going to do that one compulsive behavior and you're like, ah, done, finally, I never have another compulsion. What you'll find is that you can't keep up with them. It will be this one. It will become the next one. Then it turns into the next. Then you have this whole litany of compulsive behaviors that you have to conduct every day just to function. So put off compulsive behavior and put on trusting behavior. Fight to renew your mind with the truth of Scripture, especially about things like what are right and wrong, things about your conscience, things about when you really are sinning and when this is a Christian liberty issue. So when you're really sinning against the Lord, that is a matter of repentance, but not washing your hands, as gross as that may sound in certain contexts, is not always a sin. Not checking your car, as odd as that may seem, is not necessarily a sin. So you're having to renew your mind with the truth of Scripture about what is really right and what is really wrong. And by keeping that focus, we want to have a conscience that's sensitive to God's word, but not an overly sensitive conscience. And you see the difference, right? So when we're talking about OCD, those compulsive behaviors do have to be rehabituated. They have to be relearned. They have to be put off through the power of God's Spirit and put on trusting behavior, not fear-motivated behavior. So when it comes to OCD, I am not convinced that you will be healed of this. Wow. Wow, what a hope-filled individual. You're welcome. You're welcome. No. Here's what I mean. I am convinced that you will see progress, but that will always be a tendency that you will have. If you're not careful, you'll find when you're tired, when you've walked away from the Lord, when you haven't been in the Scripture, that you veer towards scrupulosity, you veer towards OCD. So what do you need to envision as the good life? The goal is not to be rid of OCD tendencies, but the goal is to be more like Christ. And theologically, your temptation towards scrupulosity can make you depend on Christ more, trust him more, be more aware of your sin and ever dependent on him. So before you think, I want to be healed of OCD, what's the silver bullet from the Bible? I would just say, hey, remember that most likely you won't be healed, but you will experience progressive sanctification in this regard, which is increased growth in Christlikeness. So if you feel that there is a level of help that psychotropics bring to this process, remember psychotropics are treating your body, but they are not treating the source of the issue. They're helping you manage symptoms, but they're not eradicating your thoughts and they're not eradicating desires that are wayward. So if you use psychotropics, just stay focused on the real root of the issue, which is your mind, your heart, what is happening in those. So we got to be done for today. I am, of course, open to your questions and comments. Feel free to write into greg@transformed.org. Other than that, let me pray for us. Lord, I do pray for those that are listening to this, that they are stuck in these cycles of scrupulosity, compulsive behaviors, feeling like they have to atone for these wrongs and follow these very stringent patterns throughout their day. Their life is not free. Jesus speaks of truth setting them free, and they are not free. They're stuck in their own patterns and expectations of themselves. Would you set them free through the truth of your word to experience peace and joy and trust? Lord, may those that are struggling with OCD recognize that you are the one that brings freedom from their own compulsive behaviors, Lord. So give us grace as we minister to one struggling with OCD, and may you be honored in all of this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.